Welcome to this webcast featuring Forward in Christ Magazine's monthly parenting column, Heart to Heart Parent Conversations. I'm Nicole Balza, staff editor of Heart to Heart and mom of three. Joining me today to talk about bedtime routines is Anna Geiger. Welcome, Anna.
Hi.
First, why don't you just let us know a little bit about your family so that we kind of know where you're coming from.
Okay, we have six kids. Our oldest is 11, and then it goes down to 9, 8, 6, 4, and 2. And my husband is a professor at the seminary. We live on campus there, and I work from home.
Fantastic. So I have three kids, and bedtime is not exactly idyllic. How exactly do you handle it with six?
Okay, well, we have, first of all, it's a team effort. So most of the time, my husband is able to be home at bedtime and supper. So we kind of, the whole routine starts with supper and just kind of melds right into bedtime.
Okay.
So starting at around 5:45 or 6, we have supper, and then afterwards, my husband takes the toddler upstairs because he goes to bed early around 6:30, and he changes him, reads his Bible story, brushes his teeth, puts him to bed, and then the rest of us are finishing supper, doing bedtime chores, which are different depending on the kid and how messy the house is, and then we have, after they do their chores, then they brush their teeth, get their pajamas on, and then if they have time, they can play for a little bit while they wait for everybody to come together in the living room for Bible stories and songs.
Okay. What time do you guys usually kind of start your Bible stories and songs?
I would say we try to start them by 6:50. Sometimes it's 7 o'clock. And then the kids all go to bed at the same time, even our 11-year-old. But the way that we do it is that the two girls, our oldest is 11 and our other daughter is 4. So they share a bedroom, and the oldest can have a book light to read, or sometimes she goes in the boys' room. And they can stay up for another hour, typically, till 8 o'clock. And they're supposed to be doing quiet time. It's not always quiet, but that's the idea. And then our toddler, our four-year-old pretty much goes to sleep right away. Her big sister reads two books to her, and then she goes to sleep.
Okay.
The toddler is in his room that he shares with our six-year-old, but the six-year-old is with the boys, the big boys, for the hour. And then he goes back into the room. And our toddler is often still awake the whole time, but he's actually pretty content, so he's just making noise in his crib, and then he welcomes his brother back an hour later, and they both go to sleep. But the reason why we do everybody going to bed at 7 versus, you know, since you're older, you get to stay up, is a lot for myself, because I just really, it's a very busy house, and I just really need to just decompress. And I do work from home, and I don't have a lot of time to work from home, so that's sort of my, like I said, it's not always quiet, but it's supposed to be kind of quiet for me to get like an hour and a half in before my husband and I spend time together. So that works for us. I know that it's going to change as they get older. I mean, obviously, our 15-year-old's not going to go to bed at 7 or whatever.
Right.
But so we're just taking it day by day. You know, it'll, like when they have sports practice or things like that, that could, or games, that can change things, or more homework. But for now, this is working. And I also find that they're tired. Like my 11-year-old does not wake up super well rested, you know, even going to bed at 8 or 8:15, she needs all the sleep that she's getting. So far, for right now, it's working.
Okay. Can you describe for us a little bit of what takes place during the time when you guys are having your kind of devotion time before they go to bed?
Yeah, so first of all, we've done this differently depending on how old our kids are.
Okay.
But we've kind of found that once they get to around 4 years old, they're often ready to be with everybody for the Bible story, but sometimes the younger kids, like our two-year-old, if you'd have Bible stories with us, which we've done a few times on vacation, it's very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
He's very cute and very funny, and nobody's really listening. Or he's, you know, running circles on the floor because he just can't sit very long.
Right.
Or like three-year-olds, a lot of times, they just can't keep up with the story. Like they're squirming and just cannot sit. So, but once they're about four, depending on the kid, they typically join the rest of us for a whole family Bible story. And my husband reads it usually, unless he's at a meeting, and I do it. And then he's really good at thinking of things to talk about and questions afterwards.
Okay.
And so it can take like 10 minutes, and we've done many, many different books. So far, we've chosen pretty much to do Bible stories and not like family home devotions.
Okay.
And I think mainly because we've always had little kids also, and we really want them to learn the Bible stories.
To learn all the stories, sure.
But I would say that wouldn't have to be necessary, especially if you have just older kids. And then after we do the Bible story, we say a prayer in the Lord's Prayer, and then we sing a song or two. And for a very long time, we only did our regular songs, which was Now the Light Has Gone Away and Abide With Me.
Okay.
But now they get kind of bored with that, and we get kind of bored with that. So I made a little songbook that has printed verses from songs they're going to learn in at their school and for Christlight, and some other popular hymns from the hymnal that they like. And so, well, we have five kids old enough to pick songs. So one night each week, that person gets to pick their song, and then the other two nights we just do our regular ones.
Okay, fantastic. Well, what about, I mean, you kind of mentioned when there are game nights or things like that and your family is kind of running around. I know a lot of families struggle with that, that there's practices and just so many different things pulling them in different directions. What if you're really not all at home kind of at bedtime? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, like so far it hasn't been too big of an issue because our oldest isn't involved in too many things.
Okay.
But when she was in basketball that went late, I would do all the other kids together, mm-hmm. our normal routine,
okay.
and then she'd come home like 45 minutes later, and my husband would repeat the Bible story with her.
Okay.
And then sometimes if we're traveling and we're going to be home late, like so for us getting home late is 8 o'clock or later,
mm-hmm.
like then we will do our Bible story and songs in the car, and then when they get home, they just brush their teeth and go to bed.
Wonderful. Well, sounds like a lot of really great ideas, and I really appreciate you sharing them, especially I think the idea of the flexibility and adjusting things as you go, but having that nice routine to kind of always fall back on. So
it works for us.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. If you're interested in reading more articles on this topic or other Christian parenting topics, visit Heart to Heart's website at forwardinchrist.net. While there, you can chime in with your thoughts or questions, learn more about Heart to Heart's authors, you can view other webcasts or podcasts on parenting topics, or subscribe to Forward in Christ magazine. Thank you for joining us, and may God bless your parenting journey.